This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
We also welcome Providence Business News writer Eli Sherman to talk about a series in Providence Business News about the looming unfunded pension and benefits liabilities facing the state, facing cities and towns. Eli, welcome back.
Hey, Dave. Hi, Mark.
The headline of this first installment of your series is a fiscal iceberg, and it's kind of a Titanic metaphor there.
Yeah, so just to give you some context, Dave, basically what happened several decades ago was that union and city leaders sat down with one another and made agreements, basically that the laborers would work in exchange for salaries, pensions, and healthcare benefits. What's happened over the decades is that those IOUs, those amounts that they owe to the union members have ballooned. And at this point, they're unfunded at $5.6 billion.
What's interesting here is we're, you know, the state a few years ago did this whole pension reform, but that was just for state workers. So we're talking about just towns and cities at this stage. And they have a different mix of players as well. Isn't that part of the issue? Is the towns and cities have a different kind of worker than the state?
By and large, many of the municipalities have public safety workers, and that there is a mix of city workers, but there are also a large mix of police and firefighters. And when you're talking about having to pay the pension benefits or the healthcare benefits of public safety workers, they generally retire earlier, and the payout to them is much greater over the long term.
And part of that, is one of the things is over the years. A few years ago, pensions were required by accounting rules to show up on balance sheets, but the other post-employment benefits, which is really mostly health care, weren't required to, but there are going to be some accounting rule changes that in 2018 are going to have to show up. So now all of a sudden people are seeing these unfunded liabilities that had been pay-as-you-go, right? So, you know, this is we're finally seeing into these liabilities. Is that right?
Yeah. So basically beginning in 2018, each city and town and the state will have to realize those liabilities, how much they owe in healthcare to workers. And those numbers are kind of scary. You know, the amount that they're unfunded at the city and town level is upwards of $3 billion.
And what percentage of the, you know, is put away for it?
Yeah. So the funded ratio, which is the amount of assets that are tucked away to pay future benefits, is just about at 1%. I think that's the generally accepted rate, which means that, you know, for every $100 that are owned, there's one put away.
Influences on these liabilities, boomers retiring and the rising cost of healthcare, right?
Yeah, so when these agreements were originally made, the amounts that cities and towns were paying out were pretty low, and they could be handled on sort of a pay-as-you-go basis. But what's happened is that many of those workers that are now retiring, they're creating sort of a pyramid where the amount of people who are still in the system paying into the system are having to make up for a larger percentage of those that are retired. And because of that, it becomes more of a burden on the cities and towns to make up the difference between what can be paid in by those that are in the system compared to those who are out.
Yeah, and it's not just the number of people retiring. It is the fact that even if you're not a public safety worker and retiring at 45, you're living longer anyway.
Is it too simplistic to think that the decision for communities would be to fund the pensions, cut services, or hike taxes?
You've sort of gotten right to the point of why this is such a difficult decision for local leaders. It's because it's got to be one of those three options, really. I mean, do you pay towards these unfunded liabilities at the expense of broken roads, broken schools, or do you continue to kick that amount down the road because it's not something you have to deal with right at this moment?
You're listening to The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guests, Providence Business News writer Eli Sherman and co-host Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. And we're discussing unfunded pensions and benefits. As I read the first installment of his series, it occurred to me that there's a little bit of a similarity in my mind anyway between putting off doing something about this and the physical infrastructure situation where, you know, the bridges and the roads have eroded over generations.
It's a good analogy, Dave. And I think that, you know, to a certain degree, it was politically expedient to do that. I mean, you know, there was a certain amount of labor peace that was bought with these agreements. And Eli said, you know, when the two of you talked about the sort of the basic three options, cutting services, you know, hiking taxes. But, you know, there are other options. Actually, we already experienced one. The state already experienced one in that Central Falls went bankrupt. And a large part of that were their, you know, retiree costs. The other piece of it is the pension reform that the governor put in place for state workers, but also the previous Providence mayor, Angel Taveras, worked, you know, pretty extensively at trying to amend the pension plan for Providence workers. And I think that that's probably, you know, it's a challenge to think that 39 municipalities are going to sit down and do all these negotiations. But in essence, that has to happen. I mean, one of the things about the state workers is their benefits, their pensions could be affected by the General Assembly. The municipal workers, they're almost exclusively bargained, you know, collectively bargained. And those issues have to be, you know, worked out one by one. And that's really the challenge.
How about the idea of communities pooling their funding resources?
So by and large, on the pension side, the municipalities are all doing it separately from one another. On the OPEB side, that's the benefits and in some instances...
Those are other post-employment benefits.
Right. On that side, there has been some movement to possibly pool assets because they're so low. Pool all your money together, put it into the market together, and hope for a better return with a larger amount of money. But, you know, that's still very much at its beginning stages.
How does all this public talk about unfunded pensions and benefits and liabilities, how does that affect, do you think, the state's ability to attract new business?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things that, you know, we have the announcement recently that GE was going to bring 100 jobs here and maybe more. And when GE was looking to move its headquarters and they were talking with a bunch of places and Rhode Island came up, popped up on the screen, and a lot of us wondered exactly what it was. And the sort of the reporting, you know, from closer to GE was that they really respected what Governor Raimondo had done in pushing through the pension reform. And so for the state, at least, that meant the state was seriously tackling this issue. The problem is that the overhang here, the unfunded liability, is going to make it more difficult for each of these municipalities to get involved in economic development. So that's a challenge.
As we wrap up, Eli, what is the future focus of this series?
Dave, so the first part of this series was sort of to give an overview and let people really know what the issue is out there, because it's happening in a lot of different places separately from one another. But this is really sort of a holistic look at the entire problem. What we're going to do in the next couple parts of this series is really bore down and look at some of the separate issues of the pensions, the OPEB, other post-employment benefits, and also sort of the public policy fallout and what needs to be done moving forward.
Okay, our thanks to Providence Business News writer Eli Sherman.
Thank you, Dave.
And Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Great to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon, and this is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.